In addition to the congressional candidate, we've got a state Senate candidate, a state House candidate, a school board candidate, a parish council candidate, and a judicial candidate who have all announced. We are running women up and down the ticket, and we are really building the bench and changing the face of Louisiana politics.
Hello, this is the Great Battlefield Podcast. I'm Nathaniel G. Perlman. A great political battle is being fought right now between progressives and the forces of reaction on the other side. This show is about the political entrepreneurs and other progressive leaders who are finding new or improved ways to fight. Jennifer Green is founder of Emerge Louisiana. She's a lawyer in New Orleans who was inspired by an offensive and sexist amendment to serious legislation in the Louisiana legislature to bring the Women's Candidate Recruitment and Training Group, Emerge, to her state. You'll want to hear about that. And Melanie Oob is the first executive director of Emerge in Louisiana. Melanie hails from a local political family and has worked in politics in both D.C. and Louisiana. She sees her current position as her dream job, though she may also run for office herself someday. So first, our sponsor, and then my interviews with Jennifer and Melanie at Emerge Louisiana. First, Jennifer.
Check out the large, detailed, and high-quality political data graphic posters from TimePlots. Our visual history of the American presidency, for example, lets you see the Clinton, Bush, Obama, and Trump presidencies in full context. TimePlots library includes visual histories of the United States House, the United States Senate, the Supreme Court, and the Democratic and Republican parties. Find them all at www.timeplots.com. Use the code BATTLEFIELD for a discount.
Jennifer, would you mind introducing yourself, giving me a quick biography?
Of course. My name is Jennifer Green. I'm originally from Little Rock, Arkansas, but I've lived here in New Orleans since 2003. And I'm an attorney. I serve on several nonprofit boards and recently became very involved with politics here in Louisiana. I was watching a video from our state house, and there was a bill on the floor to try to combat human trafficking, trying to set a minimum age for dancers. And a state representative.
What kind of dancers? Dancers that don't wear much clothing.
That's one way to say it, yeah. Yes. So a state representative got up and made an amendment. He wanted not only a minimum age, he wanted a maximum age of 28 and a maximum weight of 160 pounds.
So he was making it into a joke.
He was. Yeah. And he thought it was very clever and funny and thought that he would get lots of laughs from the room when they were really talking about a very serious issue of human trafficking. So after seeing that video, I sent it to a friend of mine in California who's originally from here. And her response to me as soon as she saw it was, well, what are you going to do about it? And I didn't know what I wanted to do about it. And she suggested that I bring Emerge to Louisiana.
So what is Emerge? I actually interviewed Ashanti from the National Emerge, and I know, but for people who are not aware, what is Emerge?
Emerge America is an organization we're currently in. I know Emerge Arkansas just launched, so I believe we're now at 26 states. And it's a statewide organization that recruits, trains, and provides a network of support to Democratic women who want to run for office.
What percentage of your state legislature is female right now?
Sadly, it's 15%.
Which is not quite in proportion to women in the population.
Not even close.
What did it take to launch this group in this state?
I started in the spring of 2016 and started just going and meeting with different people who I guess you would say are political players or politicos around the state, letting them know what we were thinking about doing and letting them know how we plan to do it.
What kind of reception did you get?
I had several people tell me there's no way that this is going to work here. I had people tell me there's no way you're going to be able to raise the money here. You're not going to be able to find women here who want to run. And I would always point to here in Orleans Parish, our judiciary completely bucks national trends. Our judiciary is majority women. Said women here aren't afraid to run and they aren't afraid to serve. But we wanted to build a bench of Democrats so that we can create a pipeline for women to serve in office and start from day one and work their way up to whatever office they want to run for.
But you didn't listen to these naysayers.
I did not. I'm definitely my father's daughter. I'm a little bit stubborn. So I was very committed to making sure that this organization could launch and would be successful. And I ended up, two other women came on with me as co-founders, and we just really spent—
Who were they?
That's Kate Magsiman and Kia Sherman. Mm-hmm. And we spent a year and a half traveling around the state and building coalition of support for what we wanted to do, meeting women who we thought would eventually be in our class, women who we thought would eventually serve on our board. Our board is only women, but we have an advisory council that's women and men. So once we raised enough money to hire an executive director, we hired an incredible woman, Melanie Oob.
I'm going to interview her right after you, but what was it about her that made you want to bring her on board as executive director?
Melanie has an energy that is infectious, and she is very committed to getting more women elected to office, and specifically more Democratic women. She said we created her dream job, and since she started in October of 2016 and literally hit the ground running, because our first class started in January of 2017. So there wasn't much of a honeymoon period for Melanie, and she handled it like a pro, even with a broken ankle that she had, where she was in a walking boot, or not even a walking boot, a no weight-bearing boot for a while.
So has it been hard to raise money for this group? You said people told you you wouldn't be able to, but how's it gone?
I would say that we've been very successful in fundraising. It seems like when you sit down and you talk to somebody about what we're doing and what our mission is and how we plan on doing it, people want to help us, want to support us however they can. That's not to say that we wouldn't take any and all donations we get from here on out. I mean, we have to raise money every year for this organization, but we have supporters who do everything from $3 donation all the way up to, we had a $10,000 contribution.
That's great. What's the relationship with the National Emerge?
National Emerge provides us with an incredible amount of support and resources. They help us with curriculum. They help us with the finances and the accounting. They train our executive director. They support her and her role. And they want the states to be their own entities, but we all fall under the Emerge America umbrella and have to use their consistent messaging and work with them on things like that.
So what has it meant to you to be able to start this and see it get going?
Even though there's not a camera, you just saw the smile that went across my face when you asked that question. I had a moment where I saw a need, and it was a right time and a right place in my life to where I had the bandwidth to where I could start this from the ground. I mean, it was just me at first. And now we've grown up to, we are training our second class right now. We have women running for office. We have women wanting to support other women running for office. Actually, we just got back from training in Shreveport over the weekend. And when I see these women and the way that they respond to our help and our support, it really changes them, and it's just been incredible to watch. It's very rewarding. I thank them every time I see them for having the courage to run and for being in our program and trusting us. And so I can't wait to see where Emerge is 10 years from now.
I'm going to ask you one last question, then I'm going to turn to your executive director. What have you learned about political entrepreneurship in getting something like this going?
I think one of the biggest things I learned is you have to build a broad support base. There are going to be questions of, are you reaching out to this community? Are you reaching out to that community? It's particularly in a state like Louisiana, the geography really matters. And so people were concerned that we were going to be an organization just based in New Orleans or just based in Baton Rouge. And so we've been very deliberate about being a statewide organization and having a presence all over the state. The other thing I would say I learned is to be careful what you wish for, because even though this organization was a passion project for me, it's definitely something that it can grow at a rate that I wasn't personally prepared for.
It can take an awful lot of your time, right?
Correct.
I always said, if you start climbing a ladder, be careful that's the right ladder, because you're going to be on it for a while and you might get pretty high.
Right, yeah. Right. But I just think Emerge is something that can really have an impact on our state, and I'm excited to see what happens over the next 10 years.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Now, Melanie Oob. Hi, Melanie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Would you mind introducing yourself, giving me a quick biography?
Absolutely. Hello, everyone. My name is Melanie Oob, and I am the current executive director of Emerge Louisiana. I run the day-to-day operations of Emerge Louisiana, the 19th affiliate in the Emerge America National Network. I am the only paid staff member on the ground, and it is my job to recruit, train, and support Democratic women who want to run for office. I am born and raised here in Southeast Louisiana. My father served in the state Senate back in the day when Edwin Edwards was around as governor, and he instilled an interest in politics and caring at a very young age. I like to recap the story of me in eighth grade running for United States president. We had a small class, and the other kids took running for president as, oh, my platform is going to be more French fries at lunch every day and recess, longer recess. And I got up there and I started talking about campaign finance reform. And needless to say, I didn't win that election for president. So I've been a political junkie my whole life. I've been told by the powers that be, including my father, that having a career in politics as a Democrat in Louisiana was a lost cause and that I should move somewhere else if I wanted to enact change. So I did, and I went up to Washington, D.C. for 4 years and did the whole 9-to-5 metro grind and saw what was
what
playing
were you doing
out.
There?
I was working for a nonprofit that focused on immigration policy, and I organized their grassroots support from coast to coast. When 2016 rolled around and the field was shaping up to what it ended up being, I didn't want to talk about immigration anymore. I didn't want to be in D.C. I wanted to come home and do the hard work here in Louisiana. So I've been back home now for 3 years. I've worked on a U.S. Senate campaign since I've been back. I've worked on a nonprofit that encourages progressive millennials to run for office, start businesses.
And what what was the Senate campaign?
It was the Caroline Fayard Senate campaign.
Okay.
She was a woman candidate that got me really excited. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know what, let's take a risk. Let's move home. Let's be inspired and do some work. Needless to say, she did not succeed in that. And I thought I was going to go back up to D.C. to work for Senator Fayard or President Hillary Clinton. And I woke up the day after the election in my hometown, unemployed, thought my career in politics was over. Then it all snowballed. And here I am just a couple of years later as the executive director of Emerge Louisiana.
How did you hook up with Emerge?
It really is a snowball. And when they say networking is so important, I second that. So Caroline Fayard, who was the Senate candidate I worked for in 2016, two of her top fundraisers ended up becoming the founders of Emerge Louisiana. And I heard what they were doing back in 2016 as a lowly deputy finance director on that campaign. And I thought, wow, getting women elected, like, that's a dream job. Maybe one day. That was one connection. And then the group that I worked for after the campaign was a national partner of Emerge, New Leaders Council, who does a training. So the stars aligned, and it was meant to be. And I started in October of 2017.
Mm-hmm. So you've been in place for not very long. What's the ride been like?
Wow, it's been crazy since day one. I started on October 1. Within 30 days of then, we had a large fundraising event, which was our official launch of Emerge Louisiana. So I was told, all right, you got to raise $30,000 in a month. Oh, and also here is how your job works. Jennifer was saying earlier, Emerge America provides us so much support, but you have to learn as you go because nothing is like Louisiana, as nothing is like all of our other states. And it was a quick turnaround. I hit the road in November and December of 2017, recruiting women all over the state. And we started our program in January of 2018. We got more than 60 women apply for our first program.
And what does the program comprise?
Sure. So we have a six-month training program, which is called Emerge's Signature Program. It is one weekend a month over 6 months, and it's 2 full days over that weekend. We train our women on messaging. We train them on how to plan a campaign, how to do their budget. We train them on social media, canvassing, door knocking, pulling turf. We train them on just general communications and media relations, and most importantly, fundraising. So we give them the tools that a candidate needs to be a good candidate. We come at it at a very unique angle as a woman Democrat running in Louisiana.
Because it's a red state, and it's an old boy state in some ways, right?
It's an old boy state. If any of my class members are listening, they know that I don't allow them to say red state in my class. I truly believe that...
It's a state that ought to be blue.
It ought to be blue. Yeah. It ought to be more representative of the people that live here. And what our leadership looks like right now is not that at all. Unfortunately, we have the old boys club that still has a strong hold on our politics and really every facet of our life. And I was looking around and thinking, I don't think it's a coincidence that Louisiana is the worst state for healthcare, infrastructure, education in 2018, worst state for children in 2018, worst state for women in 2018, third worst for families in 2019, seventh worst to retire, fourth worst to get a job, worst for STDs. And I started comparing the states that were on those worst lists and their representation on the state level. And 6 out of the 10 on the very bottom, the very worst states, those same 6 were the bottom of women representation in the state legislature. And I thought, I don't think that's a total coincidence.
Conservative states, poor states, states that are a little backward nationally, unfortunately, and great states, you know, states that ought to be brought up.
Absolutely. And if you're from Louisiana, you know Louisiana women. They are the backbone of their community. They're the backbone of their family. Even doing some historical research on campaigns here, the wives were the shot callers. They ran the campaign office. They kept the candidate looking sharp, but they were never seen as candidates themselves.
Well, you had Mary Landrieu.
Thank God for Mary Landrieu, and we wish we had her back. And I got to grow up in Louisiana where I had a U.S. senator that looked like me. It inspired me to run and to do this work to help women get elected. But we need to think about the next generation of Louisiana girls.
You said you trained something like 60 women or 60 women applied for the training. Mm-hmm. How did that go and how did they do?
Oh, so we accepted 25 of those 60. We try to keep our class sizes to under 25.
And not everybody who is applying is going to make a great candidate or is in the right place to run or whatever. Yeah,
absolutely. And when someone applies and they're not ready for the program, I give them homework. I say to come back in 1 year and go get some more campaign experience. Go volunteer on a campaign. Go join your local parish Democratic committee because we don't have counties here. Go and get involved in a nonprofit board or with your neighborhood association. And they come back in 1 year. And if they've done the work, then we consider
they got to position themselves sometimes. Yeah,
absolutely. And we have a lot of political novices who are applying to our class who never thought they would run for office before. So it does take time to rewire their brain as a candidate, I like to say.
So of the 25 that went through your program, what happened with them?
So 22 made it through.
Okay.
I like to say that, look, running for office isn't easy.
That's tough.
And so Emerge isn't easy because we're getting you ready. Mm-hmm. And I didn't mention earlier, our trainings are across the state. Mm. So we have women from New Orleans that are going to Shreveport for the first time. That's 5 hours away. And if you go up to Shreveport, you'll see they have Dallas Cowboys stuff in the stores instead of Saints stuff. Like, it is a different world. 22 of them graduated, and of those 22, 3 of them ran for office that year. Then we decided to do another training in our first year because the demand was so high. Mm-hmm. And we had women coming out of the woodwork seeing this first class graduate. So we did a special boot camp training, which is a three-day boot camp, and I mean boot camp, and it's a condensed version of our six-month program. We graduated another 22 women through that, mm-hmm. and five of them qualified for office. So we had eight women on the ballot our first year.
In 2018. How'd they do?
So a lot of them were running in places where
it was impossible to win.
Republicans had been dominant for years. When we're rebuilding the infrastructure here in the South for the Democratic Party, we need to consider winning in a variety of ways. Mm-hmm. Because we're building a bench, and we are not going to be the candidates of the past that if they lose, they take their emails, they take their networks, they go home, and they shut down. We are building a coalition of Democrats here. So I want to talk about one of my women. Her name is Summer Cooner, and she lives in Caddo Parish, which is all the way up there in Shreveport. She decided to run for school board in a district that just 4 years ago went 88% Republican. She swung that district by 45 points to Democrats with just a four-year span because no one had knocked on these people's doors. Redistricting and the hold that the powers that be have here does not allow for competition. So voters don't get engaged. And that is a huge problem for our state, obviously. We have very, very low voter turnout. So Summer, I count that as a win. Like, she is changing what people in that district think of when they think of Democrats.
And it impacts races up the ballot. When you do that, of course.
Absolutely. And up in Shreveport, they had their mayoral race. They had city council races. Another candidate that we had was Chelsea Richard Napoleon. She ran for clerk of court for Orleans Parish, which is a very powerful position. And she was running against a sitting city council member, Jared Brosset, who's extremely well-liked, extremely well-funded. But he took it for granted. He thought he was a shoo-in. And Chelsea, with her ground game, she shook every hand in the city twice, and she beat him by 8.5 points. And it really was the first
kind of a shocker.
Absolutely. Because what we're seeing happen this year is all these state legislative districts are open because of term limits. And a lot of these players were already moving the chess pieces. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go here. And Chelsea really messed that up. It's making our leaders at the least not take voters for granted and making them work a little bit harder.
So you have a 2019 election, statewide election, governor, state legislature. How much of your efforts are going into that in this kind of training cycle for you?
2019 is the year. When Jennifer started organizing Emerge Louisiana a few years ago, we had a long game, and it is to take down some of the structural barriers to elect Democrats here. And that's going to come through redistricting. In 2021, our state legislature, who we will elect this year, will be drawing our congressional districts and our state legislative districts. And 2019 is important because of that, but also is a unique opportunity because almost half of our sitting state legislators are term limited and cannot run for reelection. And as you know, the power of incumbency is real.
How long is a term that they can run? How long can they sit?
The terms are 4 years, uh-huh. and term limits, they can only serve 3 terms.
Okay. So this must have come into effect. Is this the first time that it's kind of bitten?
Yep.
Yep.
Our first turnover, and yeah. we've never seen anything like this before.
So a lot of people are moving, trying to find the next office to occupy, perhaps, or figuring out. Opening up places that maybe will give a chance for a woman to win.
Definitely. And we have really strong partners here on the ground. We've got a Democratic governor, thankfully, who will be on the ballot this year, who is performing very strongly in places where Trump won in 2016, excuse me. So we have that going for us. We also have some new voters getting added to our voter rolls this year. Previously incarcerated men and women across the state who now have their voting rights restored. So we're seeing a lot of investment in making sure they have the capabilities to vote. But we have groups that are caring about Louisiana for the first time that are putting money in here.
Who are you thinking about?
I've had groups who specifically want to run Democratic district attorneys reach out to me, Democratic Secretary of State, the DLCC, the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee, Sister District, First Ask, Run for Something, Victory Fund, all of these groups.
A lot of these are new organizations that sprung up post-Trump, many of whom I've talked to, but are working hard on it.
To see Louisiana part of a national organization's strategy and that they have the wherewithal of the importance of these elections because of redistricting is, it gives me hope that Democrats are getting their act together. We're thinking long game. We're thinking about what are the little steps we need to take back our state legislators because the Republicans have been beating us at this for decades.
Are there other women's leadership training groups that are active in Louisiana?
Emerge Louisiana is the only candidate training for women in the state. I have heard of some business groups that are starting at Republican candidate training boot camps. I heard they're not that good and that they really are pushing issues, which is one thing we don't do at Emerge. We don't believe in a litmus test. There's only three requirements to do Emerge Louisiana. You have to be a woman or identify as a woman, live in the state of Louisiana, and be a registered Democrat. We let the women know their district and run the race that they need to run.
Do you ever have more than one trainee in the same primary?
We haven't yet, but we may this year. And that is why we don't endorse candidates, because we think all women should be running who want to run. Studies show that divisive political rhetoric actually decreases when the amount of women in the race increases.
And you have an open primary here, right? Describe that. How is that different than what we have in many other parts of the country?
So I'll do an example. I'll go back to 2016 and that U.S. Senate race I was talking about earlier. When you run for any election in Louisiana, the only thing you need to do to get on the ballot is show up at qualifying, pay your fee, and you are on the general ballot. That's it. What happened?
And the general election ballot is what you're talking about.
Yes, yeah. Like the November ballot.
Yeah. So there is no primary.
There's no primary.
The primary takes place in the general, mm-hmm. in the jungle primary or whatever they call it.
They do call it a jungle primary. And think back to 2016. On the ballot with Trump and Hillary was our U.S. Senate campaign. Our U.S. Senate race had 24 candidates on the ballot on November 6th.
Of both parties, of more than one, two parties.
Yes. We had John Kennedy, who ended up winning, and he's our U.S. Senator. We had David Duke, the white supremacist, qualify. We had comedians. We had congressmen. 24. And so that runoff was in December.
Which makes it a low turnout affair, a different political battle than you would have if it was on the regular. How do you think that affects women candidates?
So I think that the open primary system makes it tougher for any normal person who's not a politician to be successful.
It's just more complicated, right?
It's more complicated, and we don't have a boxing ring structure, right, to battle it out in a primary and have a winner and be able to get behind a winner.
Is there any move to change that, to move it back to a more traditional party primary structure?
So actually, the chair of the Republican Party in this state made a statement a couple months ago that it's their priority to reconsider this. The reason this was a rule to begin with was to help Democrats in the 1970s running for statewide office. Instead, what it did is it empowered the party of power, which is the Republican Party. So imagine you want to run for a race in 2019. Qualifying is in August, the first week of August. You're not going to really know who's on your ballot running against you until August, when your election is in October of this year.
Yeah, it's very different.
Mm-hmm.
What else should I know about Emerge Louisiana?
Sure. So Emerge Louisiana, we have 67 alums in the state now. Some of them went through boot camp. Some of them went through our signature training program. Of those 67, we expect nearly 30 of them to be running for office in 2019. Right now, 9 have publicly announced. And remember, qualifying, again, is not until August. So it makes it tricky. And it makes our calendar delayed. Of those 9 who have announced, we have a candidate for United States Congress.
Who's that?
Her name is Candy Christoff.
What district is she running in?
She's running in the 5th Congressional District, which is currently a seat held by Ralph Abraham. He's a Republican, and he's actually challenging our sitting Democratic governor for the gubernatorial seat.
So it's an open seat coming up?
If he were to win.
Yeah.
But I don't think
he can both. Oh, because it's an odd year, so he can run without giving up his seat. Got it.
Yeah, and he represents one of the poorest districts in the United States, and he's one of the richest members of Congress.
Do you think there's a shot to win that race?
With a lot of hard work. Yeah. The Democrat got 40% of the vote last year. That was a presidential year. I mean, that was not
a
presidential year.
Candidate?
He decided on the last day of qualifying to qualify because he didn't see anyone else. Meanwhile, Candy is already holding fundraisers. She's got her deputy field directors.
Like she's been trained.
She's ready. What we're going to see this year is Ralph Abraham is going to be stomping around the state, focusing on another job.
That's make you vulnerable sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she would be the first African-American woman that we ever sent to the United States Congress.
Well, I'm rooting for her now.
In addition to the congressional candidate, we've got a state Senate candidate, a state House candidate, a school board candidate, a parish council candidate, and a judicial candidate who have all announced. We are running women up and down the ticket, and we are really building the bench and changing the face of Louisiana politics.
When you look around at the elections coming up, who do you see as good allies for Emerge, for the candidates that Emerge is helping to prepare?
Energy here from the activist groups, I don't think we can overlook it. We've got indivisible chapters in DeRidder, Louisiana, and Ruston, Louisiana. Most people who live in Louisiana don't even know where DeRidder is. And they've got a strong indivisible chapter ready to organize, knock on doors. I think the people are going to be our biggest asset here. And also our partners who are training campaign staffers. Because with many first-time candidates, many more than we've ever seen.
Who's training campaign staffers?
Just this past week, we had the state party did a vote builder training, 2-day boot camp. The Congressional Black Caucus Institute did an advocacy training. We have the National Democratic Training Committee coming down doing a training. We've got some local groups. There's a Roots Camp, which is a local activist training group. We've got Power Rising Conference that has some trainings. We need more trained campaign staff because we're training candidates. They're first-time candidates. They're not going to hire the same consultants. Those consultants are already hired. We've got so many people running. We're trying to train young girls and young men across the state to give them the tools they need to make some money and help our women win.
It sounds to me like this is something that you want to be doing.
Absolutely. I'm not doing it for the money. I am not doing it because I wanted to move back to Metairie, Louisiana, in my old house where I grew up in. Louisiana is very dear to my heart. We don't deserve to be the worst. We don't deserve to be ashamed of our state. And I truly believe that the women here are just waiting to be empowered. They just need a little bit of guidance. Just taking phone calls from women every day who want to run gives me so much hope. It's a very tiring job. It's going to be a long road ahead. You couldn't do this work if you don't love it.
Do you think it's something you'll stay with for several cycles, or is it going to burn you out like it does to many people?
Yeah. So when I first started, people asked me, oh, when are you running, Melanie? And I said, I'm going to get 100 women elected and then I'm going to run. So I don't know if I'm going to make it to 100. If I can raise enough money to hire a deputy, that would be helpful in not burning out. And if you want to help me with that, you can go to emergelouisiana.org to donate. Yeah, I'm going to keep doing this until...
And it sounds like you're going to run yourself. What are you thinking of running for?
So I live in Jefferson Parish, which some people would say is red district. I'm going to sit back for a little bit and see what goes on there. We've got some parish council races this year that I want to see if we can engage voters there. And I'm also on the local committee there, so I'll be helping with that. it's these suburban areas around New Orleans, around Baton Rouge, that we have the most opportunity. It's trending our way. These white suburban moms are starting to rethink the pastors and the right wing guys that, you know, frankly, they were grown up told to support and haven't been given a choice otherwise.
Well, it's great to talk to you. Good to see this kind of work going on in Louisiana. So keep up the fight.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for your time. So that was Melanie Oob, and before that, Jennifer Green at Emerge Louisiana. Will Emerge help even out the ratio of women to men in office in Louisiana and turn that state blue? I hope so. This is Nathaniel G. Perlman with the Great Battlefield Podcast. You can find us at resistancedashboard.com or by searching for Great Battlefield in places where podcasts are found.